Hey there, web or podcast listeners. I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited to make it a little bit shorter and a little bit sweeter. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Connor Cyrus. Governor Phil Scott says that he wants to invest more money into the trades. When he spoke during his State of the State address earlier this month, he said a big priority is helping Vermonters have access to, quote, well-paying jobs. And he stuck by that during his budget address by announcing that he would spend $2.7 million on a pilot program to connect students from career and technical education centers with employers. Now, that was just one of many steps. All of this, he says, is to improve Vermont's ongoing workforce shortage, and he wants to change how we think about the trades.
We need to do more to encourage students to pursue these programs. For far too long, we haven't done enough to point students towards these great opportunities to build a real future for themselves. It's time we end the stigma around CTE.
Today, we're discussing career and technical education, or as we just heard the governor call it, CTE. The good, the bad, and everything in between when it comes to career and technical education opportunities here in Vermont. Now, my first guest is the Assistant Division Director with the Vermont Agency of Education, Jay Ramsey. He supports the agency's CTE program and adult education and literacy programs. Jay, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thanks for having me, Connor.
So let's just start with the basics. What's your role in the context of career and technical education in Vermont?
Well, the Agency of Education administers the rules that govern career technical education. We help implement the statutes, the laws that are passed by the General Assembly. We connect with our colleagues at the Department of Labor to help our technical centers understand what kind of programs they should be offering. And we also serve at the systems level to, I'll say, ease the transitions that happen. Our CTE students are in high school, and we're interested in making sure they have seamless transitions from the technical program that they're in to college, if that's what they happen to, where their path is, or into registered apprenticeships, or whatever other goals a student might have. We're trying to make the systems be seamless. And I would also say, doing what I'm doing now, which is to educate the public about this system that I think people are aware of, but maybe don't completely understand.
Now, Jay, what does CTE look like in Vermont today? How many graduates are we seeing, and what trades are they graduating, and where are trades in the most demand?
Okay, well, career technical education, some of your listeners might understand it as vocational education. That is what not modern language. It doesn't reflect what we do. So career technical education is available all across the state, no matter what your zip code is. If you're living in Vermont, you have access to a CTE center, your child, your grandchild has access to one. And
Jay, are you still there? Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mark and Fletcher. Mark, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I am a former program director for the Burlington Technical Center Culinary Arts Program. I'm retired, but I'm very concerned about how our young people engage with the business community through technical education. And what is totally missing from this conversation is a historical perspective of how the legislature has dealt with initiatives to do this in the past. And the major historical significant issue was, if anybody has any memory at all, of the early 1990s Regional Technical Academy that was proposed and studied for 3 or 4 years in Chittenden County as an answer to exactly what you're talking about. This was, you know, quite a while back, and it was going to be the biggest commitment and initiative in education in the last 25 years.
Mark, thank you. Mark, I think we lost you, but thank you so much for that call. We also have had a few emails of people just calling, wanting to discuss that. We have Lynn in St. Johnsbury. They write, an important step in training students in technical careers is to provide early experiences and a feeling of competence and enjoyment and hands-on skills. We used to have all of that in skills, but most programs have been discontinued. We need to refund these programs starting at least in the middle school level. And Jay, are you back?
I'm back. Sorry about
Welcome
that.
Welcome back. No, so, you know, we have a lot to discuss, but, you know, we just had Mark that called. This is Jay from the Agency of Education. Mark called and he said that there have been some problems in the legislature and that started in the 90s with the discontinuing of some these CTE programs. What is the relationship between the legislature and CTE now?
Well, I'm not sure what the caller is referring to, but I would say the legislature is very supportive of career technical education. One of the problems within the system that we're actively working to resolve, there's a bill currently in, I think it's the House Education Committee, that is going to look at new ways of funding technical education. That has been a disincentive. But in terms of what the caller is referring to, the technical centers make their own decisions about which programs to offer, which programs to discontinue. And we have federal legislation, it's called the Perkins Act, and that there's a process called a comprehensive local needs assessment, and that is asking all of the technical centers to evaluate their programs and examine their connection to the labor market. We don't want to have programs that are preparing students for jobs that don't exist. We're interested in jobs that currently exist, like electricians and plumbers and automotive technicians and human service workers and educators. And that's not to prioritize those. That's just the top that came off the top of my head. But it's really a regional decision within each center what programs to offer and which ones to discontinue. And in the past, if I could pull a thread between what I think I heard the last two, the last caller and the last message that you read is about shop class or about home ec class, that those were important things in the history of technical education that introduced students to concepts. And we have the modern versions of those would be maker spaces in schools and in libraries. And we have introductory courses that technical centers offer, not all across the state, but some of them offer introductory courses to students in their home high school. And that introduces them to these fields and to the programs that are available at the technical center.
You mentioned disincentives, and we had somebody on Twitter, Katie from Twitter, wrote, and she said, I hope you can discuss the funding model and how it disincentivizes enrollment. Can you discuss the funding models when it comes to CTE programs?
How much time do you have, Connor?
I think it's important that people understand how money is distributed to these programs. You know, we have the governor talking about wanting to really invest in these, but we need to start from the base and understand where the money's going now.
Sure. So the way it works is so our system in Vermont is what we call a shared time system. So students share time between their home high school and the technical center. And the way that our system is currently funded is tuition-based. So a student wants to leave their home high school for part of the day and go to the technical center. Well, the high school has to pay tuition for that student to go. And if you are a large high school and maybe you're sending 150 students to the technical center, that cost is, you know, in the millions of dollars. And in some cases, that affects the budget of the school. It affects what other programs the high school might want to offer, or what services they might want to offer. And it also, for smaller schools, means a big portion of their budget, but it also means students are leaving those schools to go to the tech center, and it affects the, I'm going to say, the community or the culture of that small school. And these are all the very real impacts of the system that we have in place. Now, the funding model that the legislature is looking at takes that budgeting process away from the high schools, and they don't have to pay tuition. So the technical centers would create their own budgets and get funding from the taxpayers directly instead of this indirect method that we have now.
Thank you. Thank you for that clarification. We'll probably have more questions about the funding, but I think it's just important to start with that base understanding of a very complicated situation. Now, before we got disconnected, I had asked about what are we seeing in terms of what trades are in most demand and how many students is Vermont graduating in CTE programs?
Okay. Well, I would direct your listeners to the McClure Foundation. They worked with the Department of Labor on a really easy to understand document called Pathways to Promising Careers. And it really breaks down what occupations or what jobs are most in need or what are projected to be most in need over the next 10 years. And it breaks it down into, do you like to work with your hands? Do you like to work with people? Do you like to observe, learn, and analyze? And so I would direct your listeners there. And then to directly answer your question, there, you know, like the governor has said, electricians, plumbers, there's always been a need for tramway workers. Those are the people who service the ski lifts. CNC machine operators, I think a lot of people may not be aware, but
it looks like we just lost Jay again. Now I'm going to shift our focus a bit to talk about what CTE looks like at the high school level and what some are doing to help expose students as early as middle school to the trades. Melissa Connor is the director and principal at Stafford Technical Center in Rutland, where students can learn trades from welding and manufacturing to cosmetology and nursing. Melissa, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thank you so much for the invitation, Connor.
Absolutely. So as we're talking about CTE, as a principal, what are you seeing are the biggest benefits to CTE and what are you doing to promote it to young people?
I think, you know, for us, one of the biggest benefits, we spend a great deal of our time really doing the career exploration with students. I remember when I was in high school, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And it was kind of just fill out a college application and hope.
Right. So I think you and me were on the same the same guidance counselor.
So what we really try to do is, no matter what program a student selects here at Stafford, we have two incredible school counselors that go through a process with every student in our building where they really think about the lifestyle that they want to have, because that's really what this generation is all about, is what's the lifestyle. And then how can we pair their, you know, their passion, their interests, their skills, their aptitudes to a career. And so they really go through the process of examining different possibilities. And then once they have that list narrowed down, they look at, you know, this is what it takes to get to that career. So is it something that they can get a certification while they're here at Stafford and then go directly into that career field? Do they have to go to 1 year, you know, technical training school beyond Stafford? Do they need to do a 2 year degree, a 4 year degree, in some cases a 6 or 8 year degree? So we really map out different options for each of our students, and they leave here with a concrete plan, or, you know, a set of plans, if you will, so that they have a real understanding of what it looks like. And I think that adding that piece to what we do beyond, you know, the technical and the academic and professional skills that we teach in each of our programs, that has really helped our students, you know, reaching their goals, reaching their successes. And I think it's helped parents feel confident that when a student comes to a tech center, because, you know, as you mentioned earlier, there is in some cases still that stigma of career in tech ed. And as Jay mentioned, the old VoTech, you know, parents are seeing that just because you come to a tech center does not mean that college is off the table. And in fact, we have just as many kids going to college, many of them with a semester or sometimes, you know, a semester and a half worth of college credits that they paid $0 for, you know, when they leave, as we do students going into the trades. So, you know, we're really proud of that work.
You had talked about stigma, and I think that, you know, we heard the governor say that he wants to destigmatize the trades. What are you witnessing in turn, like, around stigma? And can you talk about what people are telling you and how you talk about that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, I'm the parent of a young man in his early 20s. And when I was in high school, the students that weren't going to college were the ones that went to the VOTEC. I grew up right here in Rutland. So where I'm working now was the tech center. It was the, Rutland area VOTEC back then. It was the students that weren't going to go to college. And I think that for, you know, the generation that are parents right now that are making those decisions, that's what we remember. And when parents are helping make their, you know, decisions for their children, they want what's best for their child. And if they think that college is the only answer, then from their experience, they're going to steer people away. And so what we're really trying to do is to try to reach out to students and families earlier, as early as middle school, letting them know about the opportunities that are here at Stafford, letting them know that the tech centers have changed since, you know, they were in high school, the parents, and letting the students know about the multiple opportunities that are available. So that's really been our push. We have an outreach coordinator. We have an incredible digital arts program that is actually working on promotional materials right now to really inform parents of the middle school age group about the opportunities that are available here at Stafford and at every tech center in the state.
Let's go to Ian in Plainfield. Ian, you're on the line. Welcome to Vermont Edition.
Hi, yeah. I had a student that went through Barry's VOTEC program, or Career Center, they call it now, and it was really good. It worked out great for him. The school, his local school, Twinfield, provided busing for him. He was able to continue certain classes at Twinfield so he could get his, get the credit he needed to go to college. He earned, through CCV, almost three-quarters of a year of college credit while he was there, a couple certificates that he got. And the program he went through, which is one that I hadn't heard on the list you guys putting through, was a program that Barry has, their digital media program, which is, everything from graphic, from printing and sound engineering, film, video. And he went through that, and he's working at a production company in L.A. now.
Ian, thank you so much for the call. And just it's exciting to hear, as we talk about CTE, to hear about the lived experiences of people that have been through these programs, especially the ones that went through the program here in Vermont. Let's go to Lance in Fairley. Lance, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thank you. How are you doing today?
Doing great. What's your question or comment about career and technical education?
Well, my comment is I'm a construction technology teacher at Riverbend Career and Technical Center in Bradford. And one of the issues that we have is we try to place students in work-based learning placements. Their senior year, there's my students. They just heard me on the radio. They're just yelling. I'm actually in a classroom now with a dozen students. So,
well, we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, and so one of the biggest hurdles with this is that these employers need to pay workman's comp on these students, and we want them to pay these students because it really just gives them such a leg up, and to have them out in the workforce is so important, their senior years. And if the state could come up with a way to help employers fund this thing, fund workman's comp, maybe fund even, part of the salary that these students would earn, it would be very helpful. And if it was a collaboration between, business and the state, however that would sort of sugar off, that would be a huge thing. That would be a huge, huge thing for these students.
Lance, thank you so much for calling in, and hello to all of your students that are listening. Jay, from the Agency of Education, who helps oversee these programs, what's your response to sharing, the cost of this when it comes to workers' compensation?
Yeah, I appreciate Lance calling and say hi to his students. Work-based learning is a really important component of not just technical education, but some of the other programs that the agency administers under what we call flexible pathways to graduation. And it gives students, work-based learning gives students a sense of what they may or may not want to do. And I think the workers' compensation issue that Lance highlights is an important one. And, you know, I think it's something that we need to maybe regroup and discuss with the legislature.
Melissa, I want to ask you, what do your students and what does your school need from the legislature? When the governor talks about wanting to pump all this extra or all this money into CTE programs, what does your school need specifically?
You know, I think our biggest challenge right now is that we have so many students that are qualified applicants for some of our programs. We're struggling to get the teachers. And without the teachers, we can't produce more. So for instance, electrical and plumbing, at this point in the year, we're in the middle of our recruiting season. We have 62 applications for 16 spaces, 16 seats available. And, you know, we've done a quick perusal of the applications, and I would say that probably a good 40 or 50 of those are qualified applicants. And so we're hoping, we tried last year to add a second instructor. But our challenge is that the private sector pays so much more than the educational field. Our teachers that are in career and tech ed, they work on a union, a teachers union, you know, contract. And so we're, our hands are kind of tied. We're not like private sector where we can, you know, pay more because it's a high demand field. So if there was any sort of legislative support to offer any types of, you know, financial incentives for people from the trades to work in the educational field, that would be huge for us. You know, when people are coming, they're taking a pay cut from private sector to come into the educational field. Then we're asking them to go through a, you know, a career and tech ed teacher prep program so that they can get licensed to be an educator in the state of Vermont. Some tech centers around the state have the funding to be able to pay for that 100%. Others are asking their teachers to pay those fees out of their own pocket as far as like the credits with the colleges. So support to encourage people who may be looking for a change, that would definitely help us because without the teacher, we can't produce more, you know, to go into the field. And, you know, we're finding challenges, particularly in the electrical and plumbing field. We're finding challenges in the health careers field. We're trying to double the capacity on both of those programs for next year. And our biggest challenge is going to be, and our biggest obstacle is finding an instructor.
Listeners, right now we are speaking with Melissa Connor from Stratford Technical Center and Jay Ramsey from the Agency of Education. And now I want to welcome Sarah Ballou, who is the Director of Electrical and Plumbing Program at Vermont Technical College. Sarah, welcome.
Hi, Connor. Thanks for having me.
Now, Sarah, we've spent some time talking about some of the younger students and what it looks like on the high school level. What's your relationship at VTC with CTE?
So we've been working closely with CTE for years in regards to apprenticeship programs. Specifically, you know, we have worked with Stafford Tech Center, Central Vermont Career Center, all of the tech centers throughout the state. And we have built up an agreement with them to allow high school, you know, traditional high school age CTE students to merge into our apprenticeship program seamlessly. So what that means for a traditional CTE student is they can either do one of two things. They can enroll directly into our related instruction classes, which means participating two nights a week from 5:30 to 8:30. Or they can remain enrolled in their traditional CTE program, like Melissa referenced, the electrical and plumbing program through Stafford Tech. And at the end of that, if they participate at the CTE, we allow them to do what we call a test out option. So that means that if they complete a year at CTE, they take our test out exam for that first year in our related instruction program. And if they pass, then they are able to move right into level two. Some CTEs do offer 2 years. So we would offer the opportunity for those folks that complete those 2 years to test out of 2 years in our program. So essentially what that provides is a traditional CTE student can come out of CTE and jump right into level three out of our 4-level program. So we call each year in the program a level. So level one, level two, level three, level four. So that essentially allows them to complete our related instruction in 2 years on top of their traditional public education at the CTE and the high schools.
Now, earlier in the conversation, we heard from Melissa, and she said that a big challenge for at the high school level, at least with her at Stratford, was teachers and having people being able to teach it, so they weren't able to expand their programs at the rate that they would like to. What challenges are you seeing?
So we also face that. As a program, we are continuously searching for master electricians, master plumbers that are willing to take that step and come on and help us educate that next round of plumbers and electricians. So we are going through the same thing. This year was our biggest class yet. We have 669 apprentices enrolled between the two trades, and we are continuously searching for folks that want to step into that role and start teaching them. What we find challenging is most of the folks that are in the trade are working full time, and they have families and they have other commitments. So the instructors we have are amazing. I can't speak enough to them about them. But they are making sacrifices as well, because they're putting in that time after hours to be in class and to support the apprentices. So we are definitely where Melissa's at. We are always looking for folks to come on board and instruct for us. And we do find that it is a challenge, to get new folks on board.
And listeners that are on the line, I just want to say thank you for being patient. I see that we have a lot of calls, so let's get to them. Let's start with Ian in Westminster West. Ian, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thank you so much. I'm one of the trade guys. I'm sitting here on the side of Route 30 eating my lunch listening to the show. I've been a professional chimney sweep for 34 years in the Windham County area, and I'm an example of one of the smaller specialty trades that's in such demand that I just can't keep up with it. The other thing about the trades is that so many of us are aging out. We are not finding suitable replacements. So I had a number of candidates who just really weren't prepared for the work environment. And I think anything that can be done in terms of education and training to be able to get kids ready to work, like in my trade, there are certifications available. There is some trade education available through trade groups, but it's more having a candidate that really understands the work ethic and what's expected of a trade.
Ian, thank you so much for your call, and I hope you enjoy your lunch. Let's go to Jason in Burlington. Jason, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm the digital media lab teacher at the Burlington Technical Center, and just to kind of piggyback on what Jay was saying earlier about tuition-based system for how we're funded, we're also recruitment-based. It was alluded to as well with what Melissa was saying in recruitment. So students make choices of where they want to go for their 11th and 12th grade, or just 1 year of study at a technical center. And it's extremely challenging. The Burlington Technical Center, not only had we gone through the pandemic like all the other schools, but we also went through the PCB evacuation of BHS and BTC, a building which we've been in for 50 years. And we've been really resourceful in terms of finding new locations throughout the community, and being in South Burlington and being in Burlington, to continue to provide, all of the services that have already been mentioned about, dual enrollment, college credits, internships, all these other things that are available at technical centers. But the challenge for us is really having a centralized location again to be able to provide students the opportunity to come and see our programs. Right now, we don't really have the ability to provide in a day basis for students to come from all of these different sending schools to be able to really experience all of the programs and to get a sense of what their opportunities are for technical education. So I think in terms of what we're talking about with the governor, really looking at flexible pathways and kind of imagining a more holistic approach to a student's education in general, and how CTE can be a vital ingredient in that and should be a player right from the get-go to be able to provide a clear pathway that will give students opportunities to have a chance to really see what the possibilities are within these different fields as they kind of make informed decisions about their educational future.
Jason, thank you so much for that call. Sarah, when it comes to recruitment and speaking about some of these topics that Jason just hit upon, what are you seeing and what's your role in, I guess, connecting these kids and employers? Or does that fall under your role?
Sure. So we do work closely because the electrical and plumbing apprenticeship programs in Vermont are registered apprenticeships through Vermont Department of Labor. So our part in apprenticeship is to teach out the related instruction component of the program. And what that means is that we work closely with Department of Labor to get students on board, and we're continuously meeting with more and more tech centers and schools. And actually, we're trying to build out a schedule for this next year to start really promoting more than we have in the past, these programs. Department of Labor is our specific contact for employer partners. They manage all of the employer sponsors. They do all the registration for that, where an apprentice, you know, gets hired on with an employer and says, okay, I want to register this apprentice. I want to sponsor them. Department of Labor handles all that. So we usually get the base inquiry, and then we work with Department of Labor to assist anyone that needs employment. Of course, anyone is open to register for related instruction classes regardless of employment. We will get them started in classes, and then we will work to assist them by connecting them with Department of Labor and potential employer sponsors so that they can get an employer. Usually we like to see that within that first year of being enrolled in classes.
Let's go to Jeremy in Randolph. Jeremy, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Oh, thank you very much. I just wanted to add a success story. I am a teacher here at the Randolph Technical Career Center. You're actually live in the electrical class right now.
Hello, class.
I just wanted to say, you know, I came through the Randolph Technical Career Center and then went on to teach electrical at Barry, and now I am back at Randolph. And I just want to say the successes and the, you know, what it sets students up for, you know, the careers is second to none, even though it may not be in the career field of that they're in the program, but just the logistics of every day, you know, whole accountability and the workplace skills that we set forth in those students is really setting them up for great careers. So I just wanted to add that in, and thanks for touching on this.
Thank you so much for your call, Jeremy. Now, Melissa, I want to go to you. What barriers are you facing when it comes to getting students enrolled in these classes? I mean, I know we had touched upon the fact that these are just really competitive programs, but what are the other barriers and maybe that you're experiencing with younger students in the middle school age?
You know, I think some of the biggest barriers are, you know, we have standards-based or proficiency-based grading here at Stafford. We service 11 different high schools who have 11 different sets of graduation requirements, 11 different grading practices. So a lot of times it's confusing. It's challenging for students to kind of picture how their schedule could be here at Stafford. And we're working to, you know, ease that transition with developing really comprehensive programs of study for each one of our partner high schools, kind of mapping out what it would look like from ninth grade all the way through post-secondary for a student in each of our programs. As far as middle school, obviously for all of us, the last couple of years have been challenging with COVID, but we have an outreach coordinator that really works hard to connect with middle schools. We serve 34 middle schools in our region. And so with that, she kind of has a menu of services that are available. So it could be simply sharing resources that we have to expose middle school students to career paths. We offer to have tours, and we've opened that back up so that middle school classes can actually come here to Stafford and visit programs. As a middle school student, they have a personalized learning plan, and so we open ourselves up to be a resource to that so that students can actually come in and see what a career actually looks like and what do, you know, what does somebody do within that career. And we're in the process through grant funding of building out a trailer that will have stations for each of our programs so that we can actually bring that trailer to our different middle school partners and let students have hands-on experiences and really experience career paths. So, you know, those are some of the challenges that we've had and kind of, you know, the different options of what we're offering to kind of hopefully overcome those challenges and get more students here on a regular basis and, you know, expose them to the opportunities available.
And Melissa, I also just want to stay with you just for one more second. And when you hear the governor talk about wanting to invest more in CTE programs, obviously there's been this, it's obviously a very successful because of this wait list. Does you get nervous when you get more exposure and more kids wanting to do this because you just can't train everybody? Or is there hope that this problem is solvable with the money?
I think there's excitement. I started in career and tech ed here in Vermont in 1994, and this is really one of the biggest investments that's been discussed for career and tech ed. So for me, it's exciting. And the focus on CTE is great. Will we have challenges? Absolutely. We have a very strong regional advisory board who serves our tech center, and they're very forward thinking. We started a process at the end of last school year and a strategic plan, really thinking about how we can grow Stafford to keep up with the demand, whether there was additional funding or not. And so, you know, we're exploring satellite campuses for programs so that we can, if a student wants to come here, we want to have them here. And we really pride ourselves on getting the right student for the right program for the right reasons, so that, you know, the students that are here are the ones that, you know, really want to be here and are going to be successful.
And Melissa, we just have a few minutes left with you. I want to know, what are the challenges when it comes to connecting students and adults with these employers, and what help do you need with all this money that could possibly come your way?
You know, as far as we have within our region, we have a really great business community who is constantly knocking on our door with our work-based learning coordinator and is, you know, opening their door to allow our students to come in. And so we really don't have a need in that area. You know, one of your callers earlier mentioned, you know, the workman's comp. You know, that obviously for teenagers, not only are they trying to learn a trade, but, you know, they like money. And so, you know, for some students, if there was a way to have, you know, paid internships, that would definitely be a bonus. But we have probably an equal number of students that are in paid versus unpaid internships. And they understand, we describe it as a long-term job interview for them. So they understand the value if there's no money associated. But obviously, if employers are looking to retain those students, if they work out for them, to become full-time employees, you know, having the businesses have the funding from the state to perhaps support that would be very beneficial. So I think that would be the biggest thing.
We're going to have to leave it there. And I think this is a conversation that we're going to continue to have as we see how the legislature and the governor continue to spend the surplus money and these extra funds that we have this year. Our guests today were Sarah Ballou with the Vermont Technical Center. Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And we also had Melissa Connor with Stratford Technical Center. Melissa, thank you. Yep.
Thank you.
And Jay Ramsey with the Vermont Agency of Education. Thank you.
Thank you.